Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark. Father, I pray that as we open Scripture together, Holy Spirit, we need you to illuminate these words. We need you to bring them to life in our hearts. That unless you open our eyes spiritually, they're just words on a page. Holy Spirit, I need you in this moment. I pray that you would use these words to encourage hearts, to lift heads. God, that we would leave here together as a community of believers, as a church, that we would leave here seeing you, Jesus. That we would just stare squarely into the face of love, of pure and perfect love. And God, that we would leave here as an army of people ready to tell that story, tell the story of the love of our Savior. Be with us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. Mark 5:21. This is a fairly famous passage of Scripture if you've been in church world for any length of time. But even the lyrics that we've just been singing, I love the lyric in that song, "The waves and winds still know his name." And here's the reality of the situation that we find ourselves in, is that I don't know what is troubling your soul this morning. I don't know the ins and outs of the current situation that you find yourself in. Maybe we've never even met. Maybe I don't know your name. Maybe you don't even know my name. It's Josh, by the way. Nice to meet you. But I pray that by the time we leave here together, that we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is alive. And that God is for us. God is for you, Genesis Church. He's for you. I don't know what your perspective of God is, but let me tell you this, he is for you. And he is actively, whether we are aware of it or not, he is actively working on our behalves even now. He is drawing you to himself. A Savior with perfect love is drawing you to himself. He knows your name. He knows the concerns that are on your heart. Scripture tells us that he grieves with us. He rejoices with us. Church, God is for you. Maybe that's all some of you needed to hear this morning, that God is for you. Maybe you'd forgotten. But God is for you. One of the beautiful things about gathering together in this environment is that it is easy for us during the week to be so tossed around, to have our affections pulled in so many different directions, our attention, our effort pulled in so many different directions, that when we gather on weekends together like this, it centers us in so many ways. And it reminds us of why we are here on this planet. It reminds us that God is with us and God is for us. Is this the only place that you can experience his presence? Absolutely not. But for many people, it is the only place that they experience his presence until you learn what it is to walk with him and to recognize that he's everywhere. This is a beautiful space for you, Genesis. This is a beautiful space for you to come and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is a beautiful space for you to come and see people, like-minded people, lifting their hands in worship and praising a thrice holy God as the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Come on, Genesis Church. Don't make me tell you about my clapping rule again. It is. Hey, we made a rule. If three people clap, everybody's got to clap. That's a rule here. Man! I was in Paris one time and walked into this store, shoe store. And if you're in here and you're from France, I'm not making fun of your country at all. But this guy, we walk in and you know, I had tried to learn a little bit of French, like just, you know, basic phrases that I could converse with people. You know, just trying to be a nice guy. Walk into this store, and I don't even remember what I said, but I said something to the shop owner in French. And he goes, "Oh, oui, oui," and starts speaking back to me in French. And I go, "Oh, no, I don't speak French." And he goes, "I don't speak English." I'm like, I was maybe going to buy some shoes. And he's like, "Huh?" I'm like, "Wait a second." I go, "Okay, I'll just go to the store next door." And he goes, "Wait, no, 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 no. Okay, I speak English." He starts talking to me in English. And like, yeah, money is a universal language. I'm like, "Fine, my dollars are going over here." He's like, "Oh, wait, I just learned English. It's a miracle, praise the Lord." And then it was well with his soul. So end up not buying any shoes from this guy because it turned out he wasn't that nice, and I only like to buy things from nice people. So I'm walking around, and I'm just like, if you've ever been in a country where you don't speak the language, it's like lonely. And then I'm walking, and I see this beacon. And I said, "Bless God, there's a Starbucks. I know that not only is money a universal language, coffee is a universal language. I went to Starbucks, and I felt like I was home. I like wanted to bend down and kiss the ground in the sovereign United States territory." Because it's probably not a thing. It probably was still French territory. But go and talk to them. They're speaking English. They're making me coffee, and it, you know, tastes the same. Whatever you think about Starbucks coffee, like when you're in a foreign country that doesn't do coffee, Starbucks is like, "Oh, praise God." And I automatically was like, I felt centered. I felt like these are my people. I felt like, gosh, I know this. I know something. And then I had to leave Starbucks. And I was sad. So if I go going back out to these guys, like, "Oui, oui, no, no." That's the only French I remember. "Oui, oui, oui, no, no, no." And one of those is an American word also, English word also. So I think that for so many people, like, that would be my desire for the church. That people who may feel as if they're in a foreign territory or people just aren't speaking their language. People don't know, like they don't know how to communicate. They can't, you know, life is crazy. That they can show up to a place on Sunday. That it would be like the joy that I felt in my heart when I saw Starbucks. That people would look forward to Sundays, and they would look forward to gathering, and we would look forward to peering into the face of Jesus. Because this place is an anchor. The name Genesis Church comes from Psalm 51, 10 in the Message Bible, that David pens this psalm after he has committed adultery and murder and is called out by the prophet of the land. He is just a mess. And he pens Psalm 51, one of the most beautiful psalms in all of Scripture. In Psalm 51:10, he says this. He says, "God," he says, "create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit." He's like, "God, I know," the psalm starts out, he's like, "God, I know that I haven't sinned against just people, I've sinned against you. And I have grieved your heart." And then he pens this beautiful psalm, and it's like he's pouring his heart out to God, and he said, "God, God, create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit. And in the Message Bible, it says this. Eugene Peterson's translation, he says, shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Like Eugene Peterson's interpretation of what King David says in that moment, laid bare before God. He says, God, shape a Genesis week, brand new creation. Brand new creation. I got news for you today. God is not a God who glosses over things. He's not a God who whitewashes the fence. He's a God who, no matter what you give him, he can create something out of nothing. He did that with the universe. He's doing it with people's hearts today. Genesis week, brand new creation from chaos. There are people that we interact with every day who are experiencing chaos. Their heart is chaotic. Our heart is wandering. They don't know which way is up. They have so many different pressures coming at them. So many demands on their time and effort and energy. That it's just chaos and it's easy to just throw your hands up. David, he says, God, shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. God is not too busy for you. Do you know that? God is not too busy to attend to the thoughts and cares that are on your heart. We see this story in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus, he's just cast demons out from a man on one side of the lake, and then he comes back to the side of the lake where the nation of Israel is at. It says, when Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus was his name, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. So we have this scene where Jesus, his name is growing, his recognition is growing. And people are running to him with their needs. And we see him he gets out of the boat and he comes onto the seashore and there's a crowd of people. And this guy, Jairus, who has a massive need. I've been trying this thing as I'm reading scripture, and it's really making scripture come alive to me. Like, if I was making this movie, if I was making a movie about this, what would it look like? What would it sound like? What would it feel like? And so I have to imagine Jairus hearing. He's heard that Jesus touches people. And that when he touches them, miracles happen. That's like basically all he knows about Jesus. And he's got a sick daughter at home. She's so sick, she's nearly dead, scripture says. And Jairus, he hears that Jesus is out of the boat and there's all these people there. There's this crowd of people. And I have to imagine him just coming through like he's on a mission. And he comes and he sees Jesus. And the only reaction that seems right, or whether it was by choice or not, he just falls to his knees at Jesus. And he goes, my daughter is sick. Like, but if you would just touch her, like, I hear that you touch people and they're better. And I got a sick daughter. And I don't know what to do. Jesus, no questions asked. Jesus doesn't ask this guy if he's a tither. You're not supposed to clap at that one. I'm just kidding. Like, Jesus doesn't interview him. Jesus, it just says this. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So now he just gets out of the boat. And I have to imagine Jesus he's probably pretty tired. If you read through scripture, he's just been going nonstop. He gets out of the boat and he's following this guy in this massive crowd. But here's the thing that I love about Jesus. It's not that Jesus wasn't aware of the crowd. It's just like, I feel like in this moment, it was just him and Jairus. Jairus had a need, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus is like, I got you, bro. Let's do this. And a crowd of people are following. And they're just walking with Jesus as he's on his way to go to Jairus' home. In verse 25, it says, there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered much. If you want to see the heart of a Savior, read the Gospels through this lens. Anytime Jesus sees suffering, it stops him. Jesus had compassion for suffering people. And people who needed him desperately. It says she had suffered under many physicians. She'd spent all her money, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. She heard the reports about Jesus. Came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. So we got Jesus who's on his way. He's moved with compassion to go minister to Jairus' daughter. And there's a crowd of people surrounding him, pressing against him. And this woman, like, okay, these are young, fit people. Jesus is around 30 years old. The disciples, as far as scholars can tell, are probably late teens, early to mid-20s. And we have this woman who is frail in her body that somehow she catches up to these guys. She's determined, I'm going to touch him. She's pushing through. She just has to get through the crowd. And it says, she said to herself, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch something that's touching him. Like, she doesn't even think, like, if I can just touch his leg. She's like, if I can just touch even like the bottom of his garment. And I have to... I imagine her as she's coming through this crowd, like, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. And she's moving through. She's at the end of her rope. She's got nothing left. She's spent all her money. She is sicker than when she started. Like, she's in a bad way. She's like, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. I've heard, if I can just touch him. She touches him. Immediately the flow dries up. She feels in her body she was healed of her disease. Verse 30. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? His disciples said, you're crazy. This is a massive amount of people around you, and you're asking who touched your shirt? Verse 32. He looked around. He looked around. He's on his way to go. I mean, this is like a time-sensitive matter. This girl is dying. And he's on his way to go see her. And he stops in a crowd full of people. And he looks for the one who touched him. At that moment, I have to again imagine their eyes locking. Verse 33, the woman, knowing what happened to her, she knew that she was whole. She just knew. She knew she was healed. Knowing what had happened, she came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, told him, hang in this verse, told him the whole truth. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, like, why is she afraid of Jesus? She comes in fear and trembling and falls down before him. And I thought, I don't think that that she's afraid of Jesus. It's very possible that she's afraid of the crowd. That she had accessed something that she was not supposed to access. Because of her condition, she was not allowed to be in public around other people. Her condition made her unclean. Her condition made it to where she was not supposed to be around other people because she was dirty and she would contaminate them in their minds. This was the law. It wasn't just like a good social custom. This was the law. Being here, she was breaking the law. And she accessed something that if she were to ask the people around her, that she had no right accessing. She had no right coming up to Jesus, a rabbi. She had no right walking up to him because of her condition. And she falls, but she's like, I got nothing left. Like, this is the only thing I got. I've tried doctors. I've tried everything I know how to do. I've spent all my money. I got nothing left. I've tried medicating this way, and I've tried medicating this way, and I've tried talking to this person. I've tried talking to them, and everything that they're telling me that's supposed to help me didn't help, and now I got nothing, and I'm worse than I started. So I don't even care. I don't care anymore. Because I heard that there's this guy that touches people, and they're healed. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch something that's touching him, then I'll be made well. And she touches him and she feels it immediately. She knows that she's better. She falls down trembling because she doesn't know what's going to happen to her at this point. Legally, they were allowed to kill her. But she didn't care. She just knew she needed to get to Jesus. I just got to get to Jesus, man. Like, I just got to get there. She falls down trembling and she tells Jesus the whole truth. Verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Here's the thing. She already knew she was healed. Jesus already knew she was healed. He felt it go out of her, out of him. He felt the power released. It wasn't that Jesus was informing her. I think Jesus was informing the crowd. She knew she was whole. Jesus knew she was whole. And Jesus starts speaking to this crowd of people. Don't forget, he's on his way to go help somebody else. But what I draw from this story, this woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garments, if I can just touch the hem of his garments, if I can just touch something that is touching him. You might be in here this morning and you have no idea what it is to touch Jesus. You have no clue. You wouldn't even know where to begin. You wouldn't know where to start. But something about being here in this place with these people. Maybe you're part of our church and you're here all the time. And there's just something about this place and being with these people. Because I got news for you. There are people here in this room who are touching Jesus. On a daily basis, you got people who are part of this church that are touching Jesus. And maybe you don't know how to touch him. But if Jesus, his power and his presence is such that if you just touch something that's touching him, if you just reach out and you grab somebody here in this room, you grab somebody who you see them and you know that it is well with their soul, and you just touch them, there's power in that. All she had to do was touch something that was touching Jesus. And she wasn't going to stop until she did. She goes, I got to just touch him. And he says to her, he looks at her. And I imagine this communication. There are all kinds of people all around, yet it is just Jesus and this woman. And they're in this moment having this conversation. And I need you to know this, Genesis Church, that God sees you in the crowd. He sees you here this morning. Yeah, he sees all these people. But he sees you, and he knows you. And he knows what you need. And his power and his presence are available to you in your life so that no matter what may be afflicting you, whatever name they want to put on it, whatever name that they want to say it is, whether the name is depression, whether the name is poverty, whether the name is I'm not good at taking tests, whether the name that people have declared over you and the way that they have seen you is divorced or deadbeat dad or bankrupt, Jesus sees those and he sees you. And he's not interested. He wasn't interested in what this woman had come to be known as. All he knew was that when she touched him, she was made whole. God sees you in this crowd. He knows you. His power is available to you. I'm thankful for a God who knows my name. I'm thankful for a God who is never too busy for me. He was like on his way to go heal a dying girl, and he pauses and stops. You might be in here and you might be thinking, you know, my thing is just a little thing. There are plenty of other things that God can spend his time on. God is an infinite God with infinite time and infinite resources. It doesn't matter what it is you're facing. It doesn't matter what it is on the outside. It doesn't matter the pressures that are coming, that when you know Jesus, you can stand firm in the middle of a storm. You can stand firm in the middle. Everything else around you seems to be crumbling. And you can stand. Maybe you have to hit your knees. Whatever it is, the way that when you encounter him, but you can say, no matter what is going on around you, you can say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It might not be well with that thing over there, and it might not be well with that thing over there, and I don't know what's going on over here, but as far as my soul goes, it is well. It is well with my soul. Yeah, but what about this? I don't know. How are you going to pay this? I don't know, but I just know that it's well with my soul. There's no name that can stand up to the name of Jesus. No enemy, no disease, no clinical diagnosis. None of those things. They must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Amen, Charlie says. I've never heard it say that before. When you got 15-month-olds saying amen, you know you're onto something. She's giving me this one. Woo! Love you, Charlie Ann. Hi. It is well with my soul. So here's what happens now. We all, in however many minutes, are going to leave this place. And you got to walk out and deal with stuff. Some of you might have to go to work today. Some of you have to go to work tomorrow, dreading going to work tomorrow. Some of you maybe wish that you could go to work tomorrow. What I do know And what I pray is dropped in your heart by the Holy Spirit this morning is that you would understand even this lyric that we sang together. The waves and wind still know his name. The storm can pretend to be as big and as loud and as scary as it wants to be, but the waves and winds still know the name of Jesus. The things that try to take you out, they know the name of Jesus. And we can leave here. If you're unsure of everything in your life, you can be sure of one thing, that God is for you. And it's in that space that we have the ability to say, it is well with my soul. We stand this morning.